Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of It's Not My Fault the OSG Podcast is Not Popular, episode 231. My name's Helen.
My name is Justin.
Oh, hey, I can definitely tell you turned on the microphone. You've got a different sound now.
There you go. Oh, great. Revealing after the whole post, pre-podcast. Oh, I got to prep. I got to make sure I get the right settings so it can sound nice and everything. And Helen discovers the difference in real time.
Justin, if our listeners do not already know that we use microphones to record this, I'm concerned about several things.
Hey, you never, I don't know. Anyways, what you been up to, Helen? It's been a past couple weeks, huh? It's been a past couple weeks.
Not much is going on in my life still. I've been describing the government shutdown as in not knowing if I have work tomorrow. It's kind of like, do we have a snow day tomorrow? But the snow is lava. Listen, I just want to know if I need to, like, pack a lunch tonight for tomorrow, you know? And I do not know currently at this hour. So while I am hanging out at my house, this was actually a couple weeks ago, but I don't think I've had a chance to mention it yet since we've been talking about the summer season and then the fall season of anime. I finally got up my exercise set up, basically, my little elliptical. And so I am attempting to force myself to work out by watching Macross 7 on Hulu. The only problem is that my dislike of wanting to work out is winning out in this case, so I still have not made much progress in watching Macross 7. But that is through no fault of the show by itself. I've seen a few episodes of it before, just didn't for many years because of the whole, you know, not licensed in English bit. But I'm enjoying it so far. It's Monster of the Week, except it's the same monster every week. I'm definitely interested in seeing how the characters are going to grow and develop over this, because there's like a couple different ways I can read, especially Basara right now, where it's like I'm not entirely sure which track they're taking with him. I can see a couple of different ways they want to like express his character, but I'm not sure which it is yet. So I'm just, you know, interested to keep watching, seeing how it's going to go. I also keep meaning to look around online to see if his design was influenced by Vash the Stampede, because I went, huh, pacifist with military training and small glasses and like sticky yuppie hair. I think I'm onto something. I shall report back if I was in fact onto something. I need to consult with other people.
You go do that.
No, I gotta stay here for the podcast so I can start bringing up Wikipedia articles.
I didn't say now. I mean, obviously, the next guest episode or whenever you get a chance at some point. Well, for me, I had like good news and bad news. The bad news is we talked about the fall anime season last episode, and I was hoping to get started on some of that, and since then I don't think I've watched, aside from like the two Conan film, Conan films that are always airing every Saturday with Conan Cinema Saturdays, I have not watched any anime since then. But the trade-off is I have officially, I have caught out to all my reads, my manga and light novel reads. So even like on like J-Novel Club, I caught to all that. That took forever. Manga wise, I generally caught up. Obviously, aside from like today, the Sunday's chapters came out for Shonen Jump and Manga Plus. So having officially caught up to everything there, but I have mainly caught up to everything. But the big thing is with J-Novel Club, I was just so behind for like the past 2 months. I don't want to say maybe 3 or 4. I was close to when I was in the third month, but then obviously a personal thing popped up and that obviously affected everything. So I was way behind on that, but then I finally slowly started catch up to things. And I can finally say I have a nice, on the J-Novel Club app, I have everything's all green. It's all green. No white, none of that. It feels satisfying. I'm not gonna lie. It feels really satisfying to be like that. So the whole weekend, just see that there, it's all good. So I can hope to just balance everything better in terms of like how often I read anything on J-Novel Club, and then I would see anything else on other sites, and then hopefully I can actually like read other stuff that I'm just way behind on. So that's my next task after I catch the anime, which I'm hoping to start tonight. I watch some anime. But so yes, I think a few podcast episodes ago before we did the summer and the fall anime watches and everything, finishes and everything, we were talking about the General Club light novels we were reading, specifically the original contest winners. And one of them was the young lady is the substitute harvest goddesses.
And I said, okay, you try that one and let me know if it's good.
Yes. I will let you know that there was a pretty good Katarina like kind of callback where we have the main character Demeter. Demeter. I'm sure.
Yeah, this. You mean like the harvest goddess from Greek mythology?
Oh, maybe that. Oh, maybe maybe we're finding out I'm not really that up to date with Greek mythology like that.
This is not the only time Greek history is going to come up today, folks.
But yes,
I guess this tells you that I, like many other young assigned female at birth teens, had a phase where I was really into Greek and Roman mythology, and I guess Justin just did not have that phase.
But
this is separate from the Egyptian mythology phase. That is also a valid phase, but they are actually two different things, just to be clear to anyone who did not have these phases growing up.
But yes, there was a great moment in the novel first part where she's basically inside her brain. She has multiple Demeter. How do you pronounce it again? Demeter.
Demeter is how I've always heard it.
Demeter.
But it's all Greek to me, so I don't speak Greek.
We're going
to
go with
Demeter. I studied Latin.
We're going to go with Demeter. There's a great like moment that with Demeter. She's basically consulting her fellow Demeter. It's just like how in like Katarina in the next life as a villainess. Just like exactly like that. It was that part was generally hilarious. I have chosen not to recall anything else from that novel because I just the writing stuff for Substitute Harvest Gods was just kind of annoying to me. I got very annoyed like the very first part, and I tried to read the first the second part, and I just like it's not like it, but it kind of reminded me of Rotaru, where literally everything was almost in all caps. There were just so many moments in Substitute Harvest Gods. It's not like all caps, but it would go to her internal monologues like almost all the time. So it'd be like getting a normal paragraph, and then everything's also in parentheses at the same time. It just kind of grated on me in a way I did not expect to be grated on. Like, I was like, why is this so annoying to me? Why am I getting a little pissed off at this? I should be kind of enjoying this kind of slow life place where she's just going to try to... The basic point is, I think the guys got lazy. She was like, I'm going to thrust all this onto you, the otherworlder. I'm just going to thrust all my responsibility onto you. And I'm like, okay, I can kind of chill out and everything. But I just got so annoyed. And I just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, there might be a coherent story in there. And I think maybe for other people, they can kind of deal with this. I just cannot. So instead, I picked up... Promise to a Dragon. I had a much better time with that.
Yeah, I still need to read the last part of that. It's interesting since I don't know. I don't think I want to do a full review of it, but I was thinking I want to put my thoughts out somewhere. But since it's an original English language novel, that means there's a greater than usual chance of the creator actually seeing what I wrote on it. And just, I just feel I like that one, but I feel like it needed like another couple rounds of like rewrites. I would love to ask the author though about some specific influences, since I feel like I see a couple of very specific writers' influences in there, and I want to know if I'm right. Like a little bit of Diana Wynne Jones, but I'm also being weirdly reminded of Patricia Reedy, especially her Enchanted Forest Chronicles, dealing with dragons and such. It's got similar vibes.
I think the one thing when I finished it, you're the one who read it first, but I don't know who finished it. But
yeah, because unlike you, someone here has been like put off their reading schedule for a month and a half.
But I will add on to like, yeah, you can actually tell this is definitely like a writer just really just putting their, I guess. Well, maybe the author, make sure you get the name, Gabi Hime. This might be their first work. They may have done other works. But you can kind of tell there's some rough edges here and there, and I actually feel like there's moments where it's kind of rushed. Oh, wait. Let me make sure I get it right. That was wrong. That was the other author for the Subtar. Got it. Selena.
I will say that Jane Novel Club has been putting these out, saying these are already fully edited. It's not like our usual pre-pubs.
No,
there's no corrections topic. And people have been like, I'm finding some typos in here. Where do we send those to if we don't have the usual corrections topic in the forums?
Well, I don't mean like just like errors or anything like that. I just mean like just writing style. Where you could tell like this is kind of like either their first like professional-ish work or professional work. I shouldn't say professional-ish. This is definitely professional. So obviously got, I believe, looked over right a number of credible, obviously, people in the Jane Novel Club during the contest. So it's definitely credible for sure. Make sure I get the author correct for this, for Promise to a Dragon. It's Selena Pignoni. So yeah, just you can definitely tell that. Especially, I think there were parts where I'm just like, I kind of need more perspective on this type of character as opposed to the main character in this particular situation. I feel like you may disagree when you get to it, but I do kind of feel like some things were rushed, particularly the ending. I'm not gonna spoil.
Yeah, because I got up to, I like finished part 7 of 8, and I was like, this feels like there's a good amount of stuff to do left. Like,
yeah,
alrighty then.
But despite my issues, I did feel like there was stuff there that I was compelled to keep reading, and that's personally, from what I'm reading a light novel, that's really good. That's good enough for me. Like, I was compelled to figure out what's gonna happen with Rayhan and Talison and everything. That was good enough.
Talison,
okay. And especially
that one, I have heard enough times to know. Also, a way you can definitely tell that this is not a Japanese author, because Japanese authors are gonna be making up names. They're not gonna be like, let's go with a bard from Welsh mythology.
And I definitely,
which I mean, as their loss, they really should be, because Welsh mythology has just like nigh unpronounceable names as a native English speaker. Just totally different language family, can't handle it.
And I definitely need to find out what happened to Mr. Roderick. Broderick. Yeah, Broderick.
You're right, but I just think that's funny.
No, I just thinking too many things. You know what's funny? It didn't obviously turn out this way, so I'm not spoiling anything. But what kind of how sort of powerful Broderick is, I'm just like, would be a random, I don't think it would be a good twist, but would have been a random twist that he was actually kind of like an otherworlder with all these kind of like cheap powers. That's why he's just so strong. But yes, I personally had a better time with that than the Harvest Goddess. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've stalled with Cogs of Time. I'll probably finish it, or at least I want to give it a bit more. Just, There were just a couple of things in the setting that were putting me off. They're really stupid little things, but like talking, like running around wearing leather pants. It's like, listen, one does not move around much when wearing leather pants. Like, leather does not bend like that. Like, unless you're talking about like chaps and stuff. And it's like, I hate it when I have oddly specific knowledge that the author does not. And that means that it, and it just like breaks immersion for me. But yeah, the central romance in Promise to a Dragon is very cute, I'll say. Yeah.
Yep, very cute. Speaking of cute, finding my way to you in this MMO world. Very cute. It is a Jade Owl Knight title, but aside from some of the gay tension...
Is this the one with the goats?
It is indeed the one with the goats that I will slowly, at some point, explain. But the only thing I will point out is like where I'm 11 parts in. And while there has been some sexual gay tension, I wouldn't say there's been anything explicit so far. So it's definitely got the slow burn. Like, I think one of the types of slow burn, yeah, it's definitely slow burn. That is for sure. But it's very interesting in the fact that it stars a guy who has been isekai. I guess he's like a normal guy who worked and everything. Obviously in the games, but yeah, he died. And now he's in the world of the MMO. Yay! So far it's been very interesting, very good, I think. You get the obviously political machinations have been happening, but you also get Karya, who's involved in this in an unexpected way, because he's obviously a transmigrator. There are multiple transmigrators in this world.
Transmigrators
in this world. And he technically can't fight. He has some tools. He's mostly a crafter.
But even a crafter can pick up a hammer and fling it at somebody.
But But the main point is he can use his knowledge to help, especially since he has game knowledge, although game knowledge, but the thing is obviously whether that impacts him. It is really impact him that immediately till later on. Right now he is going through it right now. He and particular family is a kingdom is going through it right now.
When you said game knowledge, at first I misheard you and I thought you
That's why I
said
said
study knowledge. And
that's
I
why I
was
had to
like,
clear it up.
yeah.
That's why I had to clear it up.
It was like, yeah, Justin, you already told me that this is the BL imprint.
But he actually, interestingly enough, was not like he isn't. It's gonna be interesting to see where he goes, because in this world, obviously, you can go both. You can be with a guy and everything. It's still kind of. It's not, I guess, frowned upon. But he himself, back in his original, wasn't in the guys. Like, in fact, he was originally gonna be buried. Like, or he. I think he. No, at the start, he was.
Ah, so he's gonna have a gate. He's gonna have a bi
He
awakening.
might have a bi-awakening. Yes, that is correct. He might have a bi-awakening. There is, in fact, I think two characters he realizes kind of hot. I'm not gonna spoil one thing, but there is something that happens that's kind of typical, I think, in these type of stories. But it's just like, okay, I'll just keep that to someplace. Oh yeah, that's the trick here, or that's the twist a little bit. And he's like, oh yeah, but that person's still kind of hot. But it has some really good narrative moments, as Helen alluded to. The main character is mostly like lived by himself. He lost his parents and everything. So he basically was by himself for most of his life, especially in the village. He's just like in the bo like literally in the boonies, like literally like isolated a little bit. He maybe come down once in a while, but then just get news or whatever. That's it. But then he shows up. He obviously gets drafted. He's now working as a soldier, and during that time, he actually explained himself and defended himself, saying, "No, I did not sleep with goats. I did not do that. I just let them, sleep with me." Wait, what? What? "I did not have sex with the goats. How do we get with that?"
And of course, Justin is telling me this online, and I'm like, well, you know that historically that is a thing, but usually there's still a division between the areas. And I'm like, ah, God damn it. Once again, I have obscure knowledge
Yeah,
that the author may not have.
the other one was the fact that goats smell, so it's the fact that yeah, you have a nice deodorant and everything, and it will still not be enough. That you were telling me.
Yeah, and I'm also curious about that. Like, just all animals have smells, like, and different smells, like, goats smell different than sheep. It was kind of funny because recently I had finished some knitting, and so I was doing what's called blocking, which is you saturate it in water so it gets wet, and then you pin it out so it dries in the shape you want. And I was blocking a bunch of things at once. So I go into my bathroom where I've got like a 5 gallon bucket of water where things are sitting in there. And I was like, huh, my bathroom smells faintly of sheep now. I should have expected that, but I didn't somehow.
But yes, he had to explain himself so carefully that no, I did not have he did not have sex with the ghost. But the thing is, this also revealed that yes, bestiality is accepted in this world.
Accepted? Are we talking like demi animals or people just going out
No, because like the
with
thing
like
is,
regular
he had
non-consenting
like who
animals?
knows, but the point is, he had to clarify himself, because they were just the soldiers were just like dead silent. They were just like, bruh. There's a Jesus like,
If they're
what?
dead silent, I don't think that means it's accepted, Justin.
No. Like the way they the no how it happened was, they were wondering if he was like obviously sleeping with other or like did he have somebody he was sleeping with, like have a girl, like did he have anything like that? But then he was talking about how he sleeps with goats, but then he had to clarify like, yo, I'm gonna sleep with goats. But then one of the soldiers said, okay, but that is kind of a thing here. So, oh wait, people sleep with goats. Okay, so that might be accepted in this
Again, are
world.
we talking like just, are there goat demi-humans, or is this like a humans-only world, or?
So far, there have been no. I want to say, is there demons been introduced? I don't think there's been a demons introduced in this MMO just yet. Maybe there is, but maybe. But I as far as I know, just humans right now. But the way it was implied, like, okay, that's I think a nice. Interesting touch there. Car is just like, bruh, that ain't me though. No. So the only other thing I'll just add, I also had lined Helen this. Like, I didn't start this immediately. It was on my list to like read for a while, and I found I was just reading it, and so I was like 10 parts left. I got to like part 8 like later, early in the week or something like that. So I'm like, all right, let's see if I'm pretty much close to the ending of it. And there are 20 parts in this volume. I thought Trials and Tribulations and Apocalyptic Diaries was the one that was pretty lengthy. What is happening here? What did I just get myself into? But I think so far it's been worth it. I think so far it's been a good pickup for me. Right now, it's really getting into it where you have lots of death happening. Ooh, death. It's getting pretty violent right now. So it's like, oh yeah, it's MMO, and now the MMO's real. So I think so far I recommend trying this out. I would definitely recommend that.
Speaking of, that actually reminded me that I was watching the World Series, and you had like lied to me right before that you had caught up with Trials and Tribulations, and I was slightly behind. And I was like, maybe I'll read it after the game, but the game went kind of long. And so when I read it the next day, I was like, oh man, I am so glad I did not read that right after the game, because I would not have gotten to bed very soon. Like, I had too many thoughts.
Okay, Helen, no.
Oh boy, the trials sure are tribulating.
We'll go into 30-minute dissertations if we continue with this latter thought. We can't do this.
No, I was going to leave it at just that.
Okay, good.
It's not like you and Conan. I am going to restrain myself. You put in the notes that you're going to spend a while talking about Conan, okay?
The only other thing I will say I caught up to, I'm going to be kind of quick with this, is Brew Procyon Moment, which I believe I had talked about when they officially launched some months ago on Manga Plus. I personally liked it a lot. I just hated that it kind of ended really quickly. I feel like there was more things it could have got into, especially with our two main characters, Mocha and Kazuki. We had to divide between rich and poor, and basically sort of poor, or mainly poor. And it had one really, I think, good, or really, really, it's traumatic. But it goes to Mocha's backstory and why she is the way she is. And I thought it was executed really well, and I thought, like, that was really hitting a stride, and as soon as it hit a stride, it's with the characters, and so like, oh no. It's one of them acts, I think, manga. And I feel like it's unfortunate because I actually really liked it. And unfortunately, in the final chapter, you can see like how there was more it needed to tell. But it's over. I really enjoyed it. Gonna miss it. But yeah, unfortunate.
All right, so are we ready for the news then?
It is news time. We got some news to go over, for sure.
So, yeah. Hang on one sec. Click back to the screen. Okay, so AI continues to be a thing in this world, whether any of us like it or not. 18 anime and manga companies put out a statement saying that no, they do not like the use of generative AI in OpenAI's Sora 2 program. Which, as I understand it, allows people to make, like, short videos even. So, again, you can no longer trust anything you see online. Very annoying. The quote we have from ANN is, along with the Content Overseas Distribution Association and its member companies, including Studio Ghibli, they've determined that Sora 2 is producing content resembling works and images that were originally created by the companies. Companies involved are Akita Shoten, Ichijinsha, Ozora Publishing, Kadokawa, Koemix, Kodansha, Shogakukan, Shonen Gaosha, Shinichiosa, Square Enix, Takishobo, Toe Books, which is funny considering they're using AI to do their own translations, Nihon, Bungisha, Hakusensha, Futabasha, Honbusha, Lead Publishing, or maybe it's LEED Publishing, and Nihon Manga Kyokai, which is the Japan Cartoonists Association. So yeah, I don't have much hope that they're going to be able to take them down at this point, but at least it's better to have your complaints, you know, legally and formally recognized in case it's valuable in court cases later. Just, AI is a pox in this world, Justin.
It's pretty bad. And then I just realized Shueisha isn't included in this. They did also put out a statement. I guess it was separate. But yeah, they also had their complaints about AI, which is also interesting because similar to books, it has very much been accused that they are also using AI in some of their products. And then again, we go into the little bit of hypocrisy because we obviously Shogakukan on this list, but we all know they're best of orange. So the orange ink, which is the they're ones backing Umakui, which is, well, the AI, known as the AI localization site. So it's like there's a lot of things going on here, and I'm just very concerned. But yeah, AI continues to be very, very annoying. And then I feel like it's like when this was whole conceived like eons ago, I'm not sure it's supposed to develop in this particular manner. So it actually becomes really sad when it can, as it continues to progress in this manner. And then I just wonder where it's going to go from here. So, Panorama of Hell manga creator Hideyoshi Hino wrote on his Twitter account that he has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He explained that it's not spread. He's going to have surgery at the beginning of next year to remove it. And then obviously going to take, he's going to be chemotherapy and going to or medication for the rest of this year so it can stop the growth. Did also add that this is the end result of someone who has drank excessively and has been a heavy smoker. I take full responsibility and no choice but to set this fate. I am grateful to have lived to this age. A little, unfortunately, a little more right there. We just hope the surgery goes well. And that is really all we can really hope. So yeah.
Pancreatic cancer is really aggressive though, so I would not be optimistic. That one often kills you in 6 months.
Yeah, definitely hoping it goes well, for sure, for Hideyoshi Hino. And then to guess continue on to the more surgeries that happen, or in this case, manga artist Masakazu Katsu already had the surgery, but he's gonna need some time to recuperate, so he has halted all new work. So there's some minor stuff that he's still doing, but he's just doing it very slowly. But other than that, he's going to obviously be recuperating until he's fully healed. So again, hoping he heals up and is resting as well as he can.
And then our last health-related update is that the manga Manchurian Opium Squad is switching to an irregular serialization schedule for the artist's health. The artist here, it's done by both Tsukasa Monma and Shikako. Not sure which one of them is the artist. I think it might be Shikako. But the series has previously taken a 1 month break in October 2023. And then even says out of concern for Shikako's health. So hopefully their health improves and they're able to get back onto a regular schedule sooner rather than later.
Let's see. So Anna and Funny, I have to confirm this for themselves instead of Otaku USA announcing this themselves. Unless they did that in their latest magazine, but yeah, Otaku USA magazine is going to go to a 2 year switch a year. Right now they're on break until I guess they get everything finalized schedule wise and line everything up to where things can still move run smoothly. But yeah, in a world where I think obviously magazines are kind of dying in print, it is still impressive that it's still been going on, even when they had the 4 issues a year. But yeah, it's starting to get a little rough. I just hope things are still running as well as it can over there for sure. And then... I actually put this. This is also kind of weird news because of just what it involves, but not for the reasons you think. So, publishing company Kodansha has announced that they have established Kodansha Studios in Hollywood. So, it's going to have award-winning Chinese directors Chloe Zhao and film producer Nicholas Gonda, who's going to be involved in this. Zhao is going to be the new company's chief creative officer, and Gonda is going to be president and chief operations officer. The only reason I find it interesting and weird is the fact that I think somebody correct me if I'm wrong with this, but I think this is like the first like Japanese specific publisher to establish like a Hollywood type of studio. Obviously we have like stuff like Sony, and then you have companies trying to establish or work with other distributors to put out, or maybe consider putting out a Hollywood adaptation and everything, but like an established studio from a major like manga publisher. It wasn't Shueisha, not Shogakukan. No, it's Kodansha that's first, I think. So it basically worked from that standpoint, but then also, again, live actions in Hollywood, they don't usually mix. So it's just like, is this gonna work out? Good luck. Like, you may have some talented
I mean,
people there.
the
Go
first thing you
ahead.
did was you sent me a photoshopped image from Twitter of Timothée Chalamet as Quifu,
Oh,
which
right.
had a
That's
tail ear. So, yeah, you sent that to
I
me.
totally
You made me
forgot.
look
I
bad.
totally forgot about that. I'm like, what is she talking about? Oh, right. That's right. Yes, we have Bitch Hatelier
That was your fault,
2029.
Justin.
2029. It's gonna be great. So cursed. Still cursed. So, but I had to leave it news because it's like, this is actually just fascinating because of why Kodansha is doing this now. If they really, I guess they'd be really committed to this, but then like, what about live actions in Japan and everything? I guess what are you gonna do with that? I assume you're still gonna do it, but then I guess you're gonna have the difference between Japan and Hollywood adaptions. But it's like, aside from I guess like One Piece, maybe Edge of Tomorrow in a sort of way. And I'm sure there might be another example here or there that may have worked in live action, but for the majority, it has not been very successful. So,
I would argue that Speed Racer and Battle Angel Alita worked in live action, but those would also be two exceptions.
I was just
And I
funny
know the fans
enough.
of Battle Angel Alita are kind of mixed on
Funny
that.
enough, I was thinking of Speed Racer. I decided to hold off on that, but yeah, Speed Racer is another one that counts.
Listen, it was energetic, they went fast, and it was colorful.
But
Bang, that's manga and anime right there.
of course the quote unquote issue is the fact that none of them got like ex like sequels. Like I think we heard about Battle Angel Alita getting something, but it's been crickets.
But Justin, is it truly an issue if you have a one and done movie? I
Yes.
think that, Hollywood making us think that everything needs sequels, I think there is, I would say something wrong with the brains of Hollywood producers, but I don't think they have brains, so.
If it's not critically acclaimed enough, then yes, it is an issue. It's against, I'm kidding. I'm kidding in a way.
I mean, isn't the joke like, the critically acclaimed auteur film which never gets a sequel, stuff like that. I mean, that's not what any of these are, but just, I think there's room in Hollywood for one-offs. Nobody may agree with me, but that's fine. Everyone else can be wrong.
But yeah, I'm very curious. I'm wondering how it's gonna go. I guess it'll. I guess whenever I announced their first official title, which I had earlier, as their live action Hollywood adaptation, then we'll go from there. But yeah, no further thoughts aside from yes, it's kind of fascinating, but also weird.
All right, and then we've also got a notice that voice actor Fumiyoshi Shoya is not going on a hiatus, but he's limiting his activities since his agency says he is exhausted after being slandered on social media. Which, yeah, I guess I could understand if you're getting like trash talked the entire time on social media, that would be exhausting. The agency said it is consulting with lawyers and preparing to take legal action against those who posted such information. It always cracks me up that like Japanese like legal companies are like, we will take action for what people say on social media because that is so opposite of what goes on in the US. So it always cracks me up. I don't know if this was spurned, not spurned, instigated by anything particular, if it was a particular role he's had recently, or if he said something that people took to mean one way or another.
It's not very clear. It's unfortunate because there's obviously something that required the agency to make a statement, but then it's like, okay, but what is it? What was the reason?
Yeah, and I don't have enough time to go digging around through Japanese social media.
Yeah, and then again, and it's I have to note that this comes kind of on the heels of like we talked about this a few episodes ago about Yuki Kaji, who also had his agency like make a statement with it got to a point where they had to make a statement because he was being slandered, and like there was just false information that was put out there on social media and forums and stuff like that, that they took a statement. Now we got a second one, and I'm like, I mean, I feel like this is obviously a thing for like obviously super, like talented people, or especially in this case voice actors, they're gonna get like statements and everything, but how far has it gone to where they had to like the agency had to make this type of level of statement and threaten their lawyers? I feel like this what's going on over there. It's a
I
def
do remember hearing once about a big case in Japanese social media, which involved just like really extreme amounts of bullying, basically. So I don't remember which case it was, though. Yeah, sorry.
No worries, no worries. Because I, the fact that you can't really exactly recall exactly, it means it has been, it's been a while since it's happened.
No, because I read the article on it like a month ago.
No, I mean, like, oh, okay. It's just like, I mean, like a general, I mean, just in general, like you don't really see these type of statements from agencies happen often. Because I think they kind of already expect, like you're in this business, you're gonna get criticized and all that stuff. So you already understand the territory. But has it gotten to this level where they had the agency themselves to take a statement to protect their voice actors or their voice talent? That's yeah, it's, I guess it's something trending that's going on in Japan, and it's, yeah, not gonna lie, it's a little disturbing. And if we start getting more of this, then we really have to just question like what's happening in the industry. Like obviously things are changing, like socially and politically and everything, but what's like what's happening over there? So yeah, just concerning, I think, just concerning. We finally have our first anime production casualty of the season. I don't think we really had anything too big over the summer, from what I remember. Except, oh wait, we did have sort of in a way private tutor to Duke's daughter, where I think it took a week off. But in terms of like longer like breaks or anything or any like mix or like taking off every other week or something like that, I don't think we had too many issues. But we finally have one this fall season, and it happened to Chitose is in the Ramune Battle. So it's the latest sixth episode to December 2nd. Important to note that my understanding is this is like a this is either continuing into the spring, I mean continuing into the winter, or it's split season, so it's gonna have split parts. So yeah, this is already off to a bad start for that show. Because if it was bad enough to where they had to delay the sixth episode, like what is the production issues? Oh right, we did have Pass Me, pass the Monster Me Lady that already got delayed from its
Pass on
spring.
to me.
Yep, Pass the Monster Me, we that got delayed from spring to fall,
And there's
and
plenty of fall shows which also got delayed,
right, yeah,
but
so
nothing that's already aired,
right,
yeah.
so yeah, you're right. So yeah, we had delays from that, but now we have delays during the season, and yeah, it's not really good for Chitose, which kind of got picked up late by Crunchyroll, and maybe that was a sign, like if it's not getting picked up early enough that there's production issues going on that's preventing materials from going out. So yeah, not great for Chitose. Sorry for people who are watching it, but yeah, just tough.
Hang on, let me click back over. Oh yeah, we mentioned earlier about One Piece. I forget why, but One Piece is going to be reducing its annual production schedule to 26 episodes a year starting next April. Justin has this listed as, and we have the realities of anime production in 2025, but also. That said, I'm pretty sure they're close to the where the manga is right now.
Like I had, like
So,
they have to be, right?
yeah.
Like you can only use filler for so much, or you can like pad out the runtime for your anime as long as you can. But like at some point, aren't they like getting like you get to that diverge that that point where you're just like Gintama, where Gintama had to stop multiple times because they got catching up to the manga so much for the anime, they had to just stop. And obviously, One Piece is obviously we know what One Piece is. It's very famous and everything is very popular. it with it being as action heavy as it is and everything, like, and I was with it again with the realities of the production scheduling an anime nowadays, like, it's not really feasible to just have it all the time. So just to point out, they've already like had to delay One Piece before. Now they have to cut this down to 26, and I think that's more manageable. That makes sense to me. It's just like, again, reality is the situation. So we have Manga Magazine ending in Japan. So Le Paradis, which is published, a couple titles: Kenji Tsuruta's Captain Momo's Secret Base, Nero Ikuhana's Imaginary, Fuka Bizutani's Level 14, Yumi Unita's Slumbering Beauty, and Asumika Nakamura's A White Rose in Bloom. These are titles that we know of licensed in English. I feel like there was more, but these are, like, I guess, the main ones to focus on. But yes, Hakushin is going to end the magazine in February of 2026. They're going to reveal the fates of the series. Some of the series I mentioned, Imaginary, A White Rose in Bloom, and I put Crack the Momo's Secret Base in, as question mark, because looking at the, like, manga updates, it's only had one volume out. It says it's still ongoing, but again, just one volume since like 2017. I wonder. But yes, those titles and anything else that's serialized in Le Paradis is gonna be revealed at a later date. So unfortunate, but another manga magazine bites the dust.
And then all good things must come to an end. Yone of the Dawn is going to be ending in December after a 16-year run. The final volume is going to be probably the 47th. That one's planned to come out in this February. This has released 44 volumes of it, so this is actually quite close to being caught up. I need to catch up since I fell off. I fell behind it years and years ago. You know what would really help this? It would really help if you put that title up on your Viz Manga service so I could just binge it instead of having to go to the library and checking out like 10 volumes at once. But that's a different complaint.
The complaint is, and I've seen this from a couple people, it's actually Hakushensha that's preventing it from being on their service because there's no other Hakushensha
title. Okay, I shall complain that Viz is not standing up to Hakushensha enough and be like, listen, the people, they want their shoujo manga on here.
But yes, same for me. Like, I think I got it to like either 30 or 32, one of the volumes of
it. My problem was that I started reading it when it was Scanlations, like in 2012, so years before it was licensed and years before the anime as well. So then once it did get licensed, I felt kind of guilty about keeping up with the scans. But then I got into this part where it was like trying to remember to pre-order a volume every couple months and like pay for it was gonna not work, and the library didn't have it like on an ongoing basis, since you know libraries take a little while to even get things in stock. So I just fell off of it that way, and that's why a subscription service would be great. I hear somebody saying, Helen, you could have bought the manga digitally, but I want this one in print and I don't want to have to double dip on my manga if I don't have to.
But yes, also here's this congratulations to make sure I get her name right. Is music? Yeah, I am not messing up her name. I am not messing up her name. Load faster, ANN. Load faster. Mizuho Kusanagi. Congratulations on an incredible series. I am hoping it actually ends pretty well. Obviously, it's been a fan favorite for many years. Yeah, it's a decade and many years at this point. Jeez. Congratulations to everybody. So her, the staff, and it looks like it's going to end on her term. So that's great. So congratulations.
Then licensing time?
It is indeed licensing time, for sure.
All right. So, as usual, we have some titles from Seven Seas. Ayaka Matsumoto's Unexpectedly Naughty Fukuma. Fujihito's Living With My Old Cat color manga. Yu Yabuchi's Usagi-kun Wants to Quit Being a Girl manga. For their airship light novel line, Koji Natsumi and Reita's Saving a Weapon Shop from Bankruptcy After the Demon King's Defeat. Back to manga, Masakichi and Shingo's Magic Repo Man, Dumped by My Party, I'll Cash In with a Cute Support Fairy to Become the Strongest. They are also licensed Kanako Nakamura's Yuri Yuri Panic, Yuhu Okita's Punk's Triangle Stitch, which I believe is a sequel to an earlier Punk's Triangle, no Stitch. Mera-kun's Puniri is a kawaii slime, and Nonko's Mistress Kanan is devilishly easy. So earlier when they announced these on Twitter, Blue Sky, etc., and it's still up on the ANN page, they also announced that they have licensed Koala Omugi's What's Up with Nomi-senpai, but it's no longer under social medias, and if you try to click the link to their website, you get a 404 not found page. Justin was looking online and he heard that apparently the main thrust of the story involves two students. I think they are philosophy majors, and so it sounds like the title in Japanese is actually supposed to be a reference to The Apology of Socrates by Plato, which I guess maybe it doesn't quite make sense, but you could translate. Shoot, I closed that tab. I had this open earlier, but okay. The Japanese title is Nomi-senpai no Benmei, and you can translate Benmei as apology, so maybe people online were wondering why it wasn't being translated as apologies to Nomi-senpai to start with. So people are wondering maybe that's why they took it down, but I feel like having a title be different isn't enough to just take it down. I feel like I would like go back and retroactively, put down the Japanese title and say like title TBD or something like that. And
Well, Helen, the other dark
yeah,
the
yeah, it's
Go ahead,
and
go ahead.
the other weird thing is just like quoting Wikipedia specifically, the apology of Socrates is a defense against the charges of corrupting the youth and not believing in the gods in whom the city believes, but in other daimonia that are novel to Athens. Maybe these boys are corrupting each other. I don't know. I just think that's a really weird thing to be making a reference to.
All right, Helen. That I'm that it's possible that that is the potential reason, but here's something darker, Helen. Here's something darker. They actually was not supposed to announce they licensed it. We could have a Persona 5 Yenpress situation all over again. Actually, I doubt that. I actually doubt that's gonna happen here. Just for people a long time ago, a couple years ago, Yenpress had licensed one of Persona 5 series. As it turns out, they did not actually have the rights to that series. And then years later, I think eventually Udon put it out. I don't think that situation is happening here. It could actually just be a case where they got to confer with the Japanese publishers again, just to say like, hey, this is, I think we need to change the title for this. Can we change it and then tweet this out again for our next one for Wednesday's event? But that's my current theory. We'll see, but it is unusual to have this happen. That is for sure. Okay, but yeah, that's all Seven Seas licenses. Here's what Yenpress decided they want to announce. Decided like this early. I feel like they usually like to announce stuff like during the end of the month, sort of early. But I guess with the holidays and everything, they said let's get it out of the way now. So they've licensed On the Boundaries Road, the works of Suzuka Morino, Minoru Chigusa's Shino and Ren, Madō Gucimoto's Every Adventure Needs a Weapon, The Blacksmith's Life of the Rudy the Obsessed, Yuko Sato, Chira Shinora and Shishimaru's The Adventure of Black Cat Nyango. And we got another Kitsetsu World title, The Alchemist's Fluffy Island Getaway. This is drawn by Matsuni, so this is another Yenon title.
Okay, I get another one, I guess, already. So, Fantagraphics announced that they have launched Takumi Graphics, which is a new imprint devoted exclusively to East Asian comics. They are doing this as part of their 50th anniversary celebrations next year. And so it's going to begin with the following titles: Akane, Torikai's Wandering Cat's Cage, Yudori's Lovers of the Empire, Takako Shimura's Wandering Son, and Marina Lisa Komiya's On Their Front Lines, The Lives of Japanese War Brides. Yes, they have had Takako Shimura's License for Wandering Son also since about 2012 or so, because I definitely remember wanting to buy their hardcover releases of it, but I was in college and not making much money. That release actually got leaked a little early. People are finding it on Amazon, and that one appears to be 2-in-1 omnibus volumes. So we will see if that makes some people sell off their old hardcovers, and if I can actually buy those and just have a very mismatched shelf. We shall see. It's kind of weird that they held onto the license for so many years, since license deals usually... I think people have said that's usually good for about 7 years, and it's been way more than 7 years. But yeah, they've never really reprinted them.
Until...
Or finished printing it in the first place.
Yeah, and until now, where they're gonna, I guess, reprint it and rebrand it under the new imprint, I guess. We finally have our first manga license announcement from the new publisher, Cross Hearts. This is a new publisher that's based in California. They're gonna be releasing stuff like the... Rayliana's and the Duke's no, that's not correct. The Rayliana novel. I can't remember the full title, but Rayliana and the Duke's Mansion. That's one of the titles that I know they have. They have a couple other manhwa, and I want to say they have another, maybe just manga titles, probably all they have. But this is going to be a first manga, and it's a shoujo. Mayando's You're Way Too Cheeky, Jigaya-kun. This is slated for May 2026. So congrats to them on their first manga license. Manga Mirai apparently also wants to license things too. As far as I know, they've just been like, hey, Viz Manga, Yen Press, et cetera, et cetera. We're just going to distribute your stuff and call it afternoon or morning or evening. But no, we're going to also license titles too. So I guess they're working with Toe Books. They're going to license, or they're going to at some point release Erika Komori's manga adaptation of Mochida's I Want to Be Pampered by the Marquise of Ice, reincarnated as a girl with a depressing story novel. So they got the manga adaptation, I was going to clarify, manga adaptation of a novel. And then Azuma Kitajima's and Isamu Hashihiro's The Monster Life of the Freshly Grafted, the comic. So it's coordinating in his article, it's gonna be first on Manga Mirai, so maybe it'll turn up somewhere else, maybe Geneva Club site. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Or maybe it'll actually probably be Toe Books' site if it's not there already. But yeah, that's I guess for this one.
Sorry. Cross Infinite Worlds has added a few more light novels to their roster. I feel like it's been a little while since we've had any announcements from them. They've licensed Kobako Takura and Jun Natsuba's If the Heroine Wants My Fiancé, I'll Marry a Yandere Villain Instead. Oh boy. And Kotoko and Atake's Breaking Up Was the Plan, the Duke Falling for the Villainous Was Not. The best plans all go astray, you know. And Titan Manga has also announced, once again, exclusively on A&M, proving that they do not know how to do anything other than send an email, that they have licensed Uketsu and Noriyuku Aiba's Strange Pictures manga. And yes, Seven Seas has the Strange House manga. I guess everyone else also needs to get a title now with the word strange in it.
Mm-hmm. So it's one of those weird things where it's like, oh, Seven Seas definitely picked up the other version of this too, right? And nope. the ways of manga license is always mysterious and historic and all that stuff. That's why they don't have it. All right, it is time for the streaming news, and for those listeners who are not in the Conan, you're gonna have to skip like 30 minutes ahead. I am very sorry, but you know, things happen and Conan happens.
No, Justin.
All right, so yes, some housekeeping. This is going to be the second Detective Conan collection that's out there. But first, we got to go with they did announce their Conan Cinema Saturdays roster. They already aired Detective Conan, The Last Wizard of the Century, and The Private Eyes Requiem. This is unfortunately the one with the bad subs. This is always interesting because they have movie. Whenever they do their movies, there are always ones that actually work where they actually see like they put either care or they had like the proper subtitles. But then you have the other ones where it's just like, what happened here? How can you even typo that? How can you miss a word here? I can't remember exact words, but the first like, I think 5 or 6 minutes, they already was a misspelling. I was like, oh, well, I guess I know we got the bad subs tonight. I guess you already know.
Strapping, folks.
Will we get something as legendary as silver bread? Not silver bullet, silver bread. Will we get something as legendary as that? That was my first thought. We have not gotten something as legendary as that, but the point is, yeah, I already know what's getting into with that. But
now I'm wondering if silver bullets kill werewolves. If you had a silver bread and you shoved that down the gullet of a werewolf, would that also work?
Helen asking the tough questions right now. She's asking the best questions right now. TMS, you got to answer these questions to us. You got to answer this for us. They're going to stream on the YouTube channel Crossroads in the Ancient Capital this upcoming upcoming Saturday, so November 15th. And I guess from there, they're going to announce the rest of the remaining say at some point next or in a few weeks from now. So, but yes, that's some housekeeping. Now on to the collection, which despite all my enthusiasm and everything, I have not gotten around to watching it yet. I hope I can watch it not tonight, hopefully this week. This collection just dropped kind of awkwardly, unfortunately. Like it dropped on this collection titled Rivals of the Great Detective. It kind of dropped on November 1st, which is a weekend. I was like, had stuff to do, so it's like, all right, I can't really check this out just yet. But I am planning on checking it out at some point on Netflix and Crunchyroll starting this week, so looking forward to watching what they picked. It looks like from just hearing the scuttlebutt, they didn't pick anything like new in a sense, like if it was unlicensed and stuff like that, they didn't pick anything else out of that, but they kicked, I guess, obviously the most notable ones involving Conan's famous rivals like Hattori Heiji and Kaito Kid. So that's cool. I don't mind necessarily mind that. I think where you're trying to do a collection, you can only focus on so much while trying to entice new people into the series. For older Detective Conan fans, you kind of want to have the newer ones or the ones that have been unlicensed and not like officially promoted official so long. Let me clarify, explain myself better. The ones that have been unlicensed for years and years and years, you want those licensed, but it is what it is. I think you kind of want to promote like some of the more key chapters, but also have them dubbed and in this new particular format. I think that could be better. I don't necessarily mind that. But yes, I'm sort of surprised it's going the way exactly I kind of predicted. Like they start with the collection with the Black Organization. Now they go to the Rivals of Friends. It's only been 11 episodes. If they're going to do something similar to having like 24, 26 episodes, then they're going to obviously put more out. I guess I just go to the lead. Whenever they get to Collection 3, yes, I'm already thinking Collection 3. Because I assume they're going to do more of the Rivals of the Great Detective. I would guess Collection 3 is going to have the more supposedly famous episodes of Detective Conan that's going to be dubbed and subbed officially again. But that's my guess. So we'll cross that bridge when we get there, I guess, in 2026 at this rate. But yes, I will be looking forward to more Conan, for sure.
Crunchyroll has launched a free ad-supported 24/7 anime channel on Samsung TV Plus. So this is something you can watch if you have a Samsung Smart TV. I don't know why people keep going back to linear TV streaming, but they do. Some titles that they've announced will definitely air on the channel include Yu Yu Hakusho, Assassination Classroom, Black Clover, To Your Eternity, Tower of Druga, The Aegis of Uruk, which is not one I've heard people talk about in a while, and Witchblade, which one I've not heard people talk about in even longer. These are going to be in either Japanese English subtitles or of the English dub, and obviously they'll probably be adding in more titles, but they're also going to be airing episodes of its podcast, Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. Current podcast, that is, because Crunchyroll has had multiple ones. It sounds like this one is already going. People might remember that we've been talking about them lately since they said they would begin offering a specially curated selection of anime on Delta flights on CPAC screens in early November. Not sure if that one's been has started yet. Not sure if anyone is flying these days. They don't have to because I know it is getting insane at the airports. Yeah. Too bad people cannot watch the CPAC entertainment while they are like still stuck at the gate. Or I mean like before you board the plane, you know?
We got a couple new additions to Crunchyroll. Haikyuu seasons 1 and 2 English dubs are now on the service, but I thought that was there already though. I'm just gonna
Yeah,
I
same
just I'm just
here.
gonna assume it's this weird rights thing. I maybe Sentai had the first two seasons of a dub on their site first, and at this point Haikyuu, which is only sub only on Crunchyroll, but now they have the dub for that on the service. So okay, that's okay. Crunchyroll added the original Fist of North Star to their service. Hell, I thought they had that on their service already. What is happening here? Okay, but according to anime forums, it did get removed though. And I guess obviously they're gonna have the new Fist of North Star coming next year, so at some point people are gonna want to maybe tune into the original. Might as well get the original back up there. There you go. So yeah, that's now there. Just these rights, Helen, just so weird. And I guess in final bit of Crunchyroll additions, they added the first Love Live! Nijigasaki High School Idol Club, the movie finale, to their service. Hell, I have no idea I'm gonna watch this. Not even like one iota. Like I was just so much to catch up to before I can even try to watch this movie.
Yep, same here. So Netflix has announced that they will be streaming they will be streaming the I think it's an upcoming movie. I don't think it's even come out in Japan yet. Cosmic Princess Kaguya. It is a film and it's going to be streaming on January 22nd. Features music from Vocaloid producers, which I guess means just features music made by people who enjoy messing around with the Vocaloid programs. Like, yeah, dude, anyone can do that. My friends in college had like downloaded guides for how to do it when it was all in Japanese and how to make like your own Vocaloid based on your own voice. I'm not impressed if that's your title. Yeah. Oh, Netflix has also added the live action Hataraki Man series. Now that's one I thought that they had
Really?
already. So
Oh, I
I'm
didn't know that.
confused.
I didn't know that. I thought it was
For some
new.
reason, I thought they already had that, but they don't. Justin would also like to put a note in here for Netflix. Do please put the live action Great Teacher Onizuka on there at some
Well,
point.
I just been I'm sorry. I just been noticing they've been having more Japanese live actions on their service, so it's like KGTO's gotta be next, right? You add Chi Furu full circle, you might as well. First of all, you ain't that at the original. That's one thing. But then at this point, like, come on, GTO is right there. Just do it. It's all in the Kodansha. Talk to them, please.
Does Kodansha still remember GTO though? Do they still care?
Well, they there was a GTO special earlier in the year, I think. I'm trying to think if it was early in the year or last year, but I think it was early in the year. They had a special with the original 1998 version, so they brought those character actors back. So I guess they're still thinking about Contra's still thinking about GTO in its own little way. So I mean, think about it for the rest of the world, please. Hello, hi. I wanna watch it. Thank you.
Justin, I am the entirety of the rest of the world.
And then I guess in final bit of streaming news, last episode we talked about Oceanville adding some Wave Corporation titles to their service. They were partnered with a visual novel company to add a couple anime to the service. Now we have more anime added thanks to Media Blasters. These are planned to be added to their Oceanville service before the year's over. Doom Megalopolis, Chubra, Grenadier, The Beautiful Warrior, Kite Liberator, Genshiken, and Green Green. These are going to be both Japanese sub and dub and English dub. And then they have Mazinger Kaiser SKL, Yamiibo, Darkness, The Hat, and the Travelers of the Books, Juden-chan, and Kanokan, the Girl Who Cried Fox. These are just going to be sub only. So these are going to be added to the
Man,
service. Go ahead.
these are all some older titles.
Yeah, that's Media Blasters for you. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if some of these are already on other services, but hey, if you're Oceanville, yes, you've got to got the porn and the hentai and the other 18 plus stuff, but you also got to have variety too.
Oceanville has something other than porn? Gasp. All right, so now it is time for the actual weird news, despite several things this past week fitting in well with weird news. So hackers claim a breach of senior employee account information at Viz Media. Justin remembered that Viz's socials were hacked back in January. But the cybersecurity news website reported on October 30th that hackers claim to have stolen more than 250 gigabytes of corporate data from a vice president at US manga publisher Viz. Also, according to Cyber News, the hack was announced on an underground data leak forum that's often utilized by initial access brokers, a subset of cyber criminals who trade access keys to companies. Screenshot the data that Cyber News shared says the access is to a Google account associated with Viz Media, and the screenshot also states price is a minimum five figures. For some reason, Anon has written up, likely referring to the asking price for the sale of the information. Yes, I'm pretty sure that's what it means. The hackers claimed to have stolen emails, non-disclosure agreements, licensing agreements, employee credentials, future business plans, employee social security numbers, invoices, and royalty statements. Can y'all just like put out the NDAs out there? I'm a nosy bitch. I want to know. I mean, it's probably just for people saying, yes, if I quit, I will not go work with Crunchyroll for a period of 3 years or something, but put them out there. Especially since those NDAs are probably invalid anyway, that there's been some shifting on that in US courts in the past couple of years.
Just give me the dirty secrets that Viz has been hiding all these years. Just put it out there. I get okay. I guess all seriousness. Yeah, this is obviously unfortunate because it's like you don't want it, like, especially his personal stuff. You don't want that out there. That's not what you want. And now,
Also, if it's access to a Google account, I feel like you could probably cut that off pretty fast.
But yeah, it's very. I mean, very interesting to see if Viz was. I don't think obviously Viz is not responding to any requests for it either from Cyber News or from ANN. So. Whether or not they say anything is going to be up in the air. I guess they may have to do something because you can't have that out there. You got to do something. Yeah, definitely time to, I guess, improve the cybersecurity of Viz for sure, I think. The Russia-based news website, the Moscow Times, reported that Russia has banned anime database website MyAnimeList due to the extremist LGBTQ content. Yeah, I guess it's not
I'm
surprising for
sorry, saying somebody is gay is not extremist, my dudes.
I guess it's not surprising for Russia. We kind of already know what their issues
Yeah, they're real bad about
but
this.
I guess the thing is, why did it take them this long to ban MyAnimeList? What did they find out that
Somebody didn't tell Putin until now that they didn't know.
I think if your mouth was just like, well, I mean, we got this title here and we got this title here, but we have a whole bunch of other anime that's in our database. We obviously can't take all of them out. Okay, that's too bad. Banned. But yes, I guess this is nothing new for Russia. But I guess the weird news is why did they take this long? Being really honest with you.
No, listen, Russia's government is not very competent. Like, that is the. There are so many jokes about this. So many jokes about this. So, yeah, it's not surprising it took them, like, at least a decade to realize, oh shit, it says these two are gay.
Oh, they have a list of anime that's definitely we can't have two guys kissing. No. Ban it now.
I mean, that's also what Blue Sky says about any time you try to post a
Oh,
BL manga cover, no matter what it's on.
the weird news is I post the Cupid is struck by lightning cover with a couple images and everything, and it works on Twitter and nothing is offensive or anything like that, and yet Blue Sky has it moderated. It's like what? What? Why is this getting moderated? Helen's comment is hilarious, though.
Yeah, and I just said, oh my, I was just like, oh my God, sharing an umbrella, which apparently made Justin just bust out laughing at his appointment and checking his
I'm in
phone.
a doctor, and I'm just like, okay, I obviously didn't crazy laugh, but I was basically laughing because that was the last thing I would have expected to come in when I was there.
All right, so Universal Studio Japan issues warning after risque Halloween cosplay photos. Like many places, they say if you want to come to our events, you have to abide by a dress code. I don't think they normally let people attend in costumes, but they do for Halloween, for its Halloween Horror Nights. The park's management says it welcomes guests in a variety of costumes, but asks those participating in Halloween Horror Nights to cooperate with our rules and etiquette. The post made online further stated guests who wear costumes that may disrupt public order or have inappropriately excessive exposure may be refused entry or asked to leave. People think this is in response to an October 19 social media post of Anand describes of an attendee dressed as Bowsette, the fan-made character inspired by Super Mario Bros. Bowser. The photo features the attendee in what appears to be a stereotypical bondage outfit with Bowser horns and Super Crown item from Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe at different locations within Universal Studios Japan. Like, I don't know. I feel like you see more skin at the swimming pool. Like, I guess this is just me being an American being like, I don't know.
I'm
Like,
just gonna guess because it's like their public like place and everything, and it's not like the pool or anything like that. I guess it's just like this is
I
their
was expecting something far worse. Again, it's
right.
like
And
most conventions I've been to over the years have the rule of it has to cover at least as much as the bathing suit does. I know Otakon this past year had to like clarify, or they updated the rules to make it clear that, okay, I'm sorry, no nipples. Doesn't matter if they are female presenting nipples or male presenting nipples, just no nipples. We're going to be equal here. But I forget their exact wording, but it reminded me of back in the day when Tumblr had just gotten bought by Yahoo, how they suddenly started censoring female appearing nipples. Just, it was very stupid. But yeah, so wear more clothes than a bathing suit if you go to one of these events in the future, I guess.
Yeah, just follow whatever rules they have, which hopefully will be sane, not like insane or anything like that, just reasonable enough for a, I guess, kid-friendly park. I guess that's the main crux. I guess they want to have the kids see all that. That is my guess. I have no other clue. But I guess it's usual for Studios Japan, they can do almost whatever they want within their vicinity. So there you go. And then I found a bit of weird news, and you actually pointed this out to me later, earlier in line. I think early in the week. MLB and anime have been a big thing.
No, yes.
I think MLB anime have been a kind of a big thing this year, and then it obviously kind of exploded a little bit in the World Series, where we had like references to a couple things, especially Marvel versus Capcom with the Dodgers versus Blue Jays poster. That was hilarious. Now we have another one where and the Dodge World Series art. They have a Gundam-esque robot in the background. Ooh. But then, funny enough, the other noticeable part for me was the fact that they referenced the I think one of the end of the Evangelion. That's what I noticed the most. That's definitely noticeable. Like, they really just mashed up two different things and put it together like that. That's crazy. Like we sure live in interesting times, Helen, where we can get away with stuff like this. This is not something I would have thought could happen like even 3 years ago. But now it's happening in 2025.
Listen, the me of many years ago has decided to just stop trying to figure out what's going to happen.
Yeah, we got to figure out how in the world do we have, I guess, back to back weeks of anime films being number one in the box office? What kind of era are we living in?
Also, like, what kind of era are we living in with that World Series? Like, I'm so annoyed. I was furloughed, so I couldn't be the person talking about the game the next day. But even I had to watch the final game because it was just getting so insane. And that was before they were even putting out like the anime references on their posters.
Yeah, that last game set that game seven was a that was great. That was crazy.
Yeah, I was commenting to Justin, it seems kind of quiet. And then you're messaging me, being like, you're the one who just started that fight on the field. It's like, listen, some of these people are acting like they have a lot of energy left for people who are playing at least five more innings.
And then, of course, they would go to extras, or they would have a game 7 right when Conan is happening. Like, don't they know I gotta watch
at least the Conan they premiere? Only went to 11 innings. At least it was not 18 innings this time
oh,
around.
Oh god, like if they went to another like crazy game, I don't know. But with people, I guess the only saving grace is the fact that not only did it happened on a weekend, it happened on daylight savings time. So actually,
yes, I was so rooting for it to go so long it hit the time change, because I felt like that would just be like the piece on the, you know, the icing on the cake. But no, alas,
no, I didn't need any of that. No, I didn't have to work the following, did I have to work? No, I didn't have to work that following day, never mind. But the point is, I did not need another extra inning game. Just not. Please no.
Listen, if 2025 is going to be this batshit, we might as well have it be fun batshit.
It's already enough of a thing for me, so I don't need it to you anymore. Sorry, just can't do it. I have no other things to say.
All right,
I have nothing else to say.
Yeah. Yep, I think that wraps us up for this time. So, Justin, where can people find you and the OSG online?
You can follow me on Twitter at @KameonSonomi. Once again, more Three Houses stuff, maybe some other random commentary. Maybe. And you can still check out the OSG.com for reviews and features. You can check out the Twitter, I say Twitter, but most social media accounts, the OSG, Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky. You can find us there. Again, putting out all the good news, hopefully. And you can check out the OSG podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as to any RSS you have. Subscribe on Spotify. Yep. Feel free to leave a rating review. It's always good. Nothing else to add.
Take care, y'all. Bye.
Bye.